For a while, it looked as if the real estate market was set to soar again. We were one of the few cities in America reporting double-digit increases in home prices. But that situation's become a bit murkier, with a dip one month and some recovery the next. So where is the housing market now? Or does it depend where you live? Are things better in Summerlin and maybe not so good in North Las Vegas? We hope that we can find some answers in the next few minutes because we're joined by a panel of real estate experts who we hope will be able to tell us the answers to those questions and your questions as well. Call us if you have questions, 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. And joining us in the studio now is John Restrepo, Principal of RCG Economics, a consulting firm here in Las Vegas. John, welcome back to the program.
Morning, Ian. How are you?
I am good. And over the weekend, though, I took a look at the latest stat pack from the RCG Economics, and it sounds like some bad news. You say in that packet, softening in the housing market is top of mind this month as our indicators show that an uneven recovery continues in southern Nevada. Explain that.
What's happened is we've had some pretty decent, these folks can speak to this here, but we've had some pretty decent growth year over year, but the last 6 months we've saw a little bit of weakening. For example, on the new home market, year over year it was about a 20% increase, but for the last 6 months it's been about a 2% increase in house prices. On the resales, they grew about 16% year over year and about 5% prices last 6 months. So there is some cooling off, partly because a lot of the cash buyers, I think, have left town because the prices have gone up to the point where it doesn't make sense on a yield basis for them to be spent buying these homes. And we still have a consumer that's kind of recovering in terms just of his purchasing power. So we have some interesting data out there that's kind of fluctuating. We'll see by the end of the year, but those first 6 months, it's definitely not as strong as it was at the same period last year.
So rises, but much smaller rises.
Much smaller rises, yeah.
Look at? I mean, last week, too, we had some really big numbers on tourism, and that was supposed to be bringing the housing market back. You know, once we got all the tourists coming back, record numbers now at McCarran, big gaming win on the Strip, that's not having the effect we thought it would?
Well, there's always a lag. I mean, you know, so some of it is the issue of lag between rising consumer wages and purchasing power and the purchases of big ticket items. And if you look at the Convention Authority numbers, while the numbers are back pretty significantly in terms of visitation, the spending per visitor is still kind of anemic compared to what we saw pre-recession. And so we're still waiting for some of that heavy, the healthy raw spending to come back. And that only comes back with rising incomes.
So is there evidence that consumers have the money to buy houses now?
Yes. I mean, there is some people are able to buy money. It's a little more difficulty right now because of the shortage of housing. These folks are able to talk about some of the foreclosure issues and the holdback of inventory. And there's some, you know, my wife's a real estate agent here in town, and she says that continues to have periodic difficulty getting folks qualified. So lending standards have gone up a bit. But the biggest issue of all is incomes, after adjusting for inflation, or we call in real terms, are still pretty flat. And so purchasing power is still a bit anemic.
Okay. And joining us also is Heidi Kassimer. She's the president of the Greater Las Vegas Association of Realtors. Heidi, welcome back to the program.
Yes, good to be back.
So should we be worried about that falling off in prices, that, you know, not the big price increases we were having before?
Well, I think, you know, I've mentioned before, too, that, you know, we looked at about a 24% increase in the median price over 2 years. That's unsustainable. We don't want to continue with that. We don't want to be back to some of the high bubbles that we had before. That's not a good thing. And I've been saying that over the next few months and this year, we'll probably be looking at a more stable market, a little bit up, a little bit down. We went down 1.5% this last month. Our median price is 192 now. But you've seen it in the fall. We were at 183,000, 185,000, 188, 190, 195, 192. I mean, it's a stabling of the market, which is a good thing for our Southern Nevada market. We do like to see some more stability coming in. Las Vegas, you know, we got the largest roller coaster, but we just don't want to continue with that in our housing market anymore.
Okay, well, if stability is a good thing, why? I mean, why should that encourage people to buy a house?
Well, I think, one, it creates, you know, a comfort level in the market, too. When the market has huge swings up and down, it creates uncertainty. We know that in the stock market. We know that in the housing market. And so people like to see more stability so that they can make plans. They feel more comfortable. They're ready to make that big purchase ticket item. And so we want to bring that comfort back to our market.
So are people coming into your office and showing that kind of confidence? Are people recognizing that kind of stability?
One of the issues that we still have, I have an office of about 150 agents, and we've got buyers that we still can't find homes for. So we still have many people out there looking in the market, wanting homes, and we don't have enough inventory still yet. Our inventory numbers have gone up, but we're still shy of what we need for the demand that we currently still have.
So what's causing that problem with inventory? Why are people not willing to sell houses, or do we just need more to be built?
Well, there's several factors to that. One, of course, is the short sale situation. And so because the Mortgage Forgiveness Debt Relief Act was not extended after December 31st, 2013, we still have some distressed sellers out there in the market that are keeping their homes off the market, waiting to see, because they could qualify for a short sale or need to do a short sale.
And that legislation you mentioned, what would that do if it gets passed?
Well, right now what happens if a person sells the home with a short sale, and let's say it's, let's keep numbers simple, $200,000, and there's $100,000 of forgiven debt. Well, right now, without that Mortgage Debt Relief Act being extended, that $100,000 has to be included in their tax return, just like they got a bonus check for $100,000. Even though they didn't get any cash, that whole thing has to be included as ordinary income. That's a huge tax hit for somebody. $100,000 of forgiven debt, if you're in a 20% tax bracket, it's a $20,000 tax bill. People that are selling their homes that are distressed without jobs or medical issues or whatever the issues are, they don't have that money to pay it. So they sit there on their home. They don't move forward with it. Now, we're very – I was pessimistic if you'd asked me this question 4, 5, 6 months ago. I'm feeling a little bit more optimistic that we might get it passed now. I was in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago meeting with some of our congressional delegates, feeling more hopeful about it. And if we get that passed, then that mortgage debt that's forgiven does not have to be included in their tax return. So it's a big difference. So people are waiting. I have people that have told me, the minute that act is passed again, I'll be calling you to do a short sale.
And that'll unlock a whole lot more houses for buyers?
I think it'll be more. I don't think it'll be the numbers that we've seen in the last couple of years. You know, over half the people in the Valley now have equity in their homes again. And before, we didn't have those kind of numbers. So just with the price increases, we have thankfully gotten many people out of a short sale situation. So are there still people there that need it? Yes. Will there be the numbers we had several years ago? I don't believe so.
A couple of years ago, I mean, one of the things that saved the market was the big hedge funds, the big investors coming in, buying up houses in, you know, big group lots. That's not happening now. I mean, those guys have taken their money and gone. Shouldn't that give ordinary buyers something to worry about? Why does that help ordinary buyers if the big boys have decided that there isn't value in the market anymore?
Oh, there's value in the market, but we're looking at a difference between somebody buying a home to live in and somebody looking strictly at a yield. I get a little concerned when large group of investors treat our housing market like a stock market. I don't think that's really healthy for our economy. At the same time, we had homes sitting out there, and again, because people didn't have a comfort level, they weren't out going and buying these houses. So at the same time, it was a good thing. The investors came in, they bought these homes, they turned the water back on, the electricity, the gas, the grass was green again, the plants are growing again. Thank goodness, that was a good thing. But you know, in January of 2012, the median price was $118,000. And at that time, it was far below replacement value. So what an opportunity for investors. So they came here, they paid cash, they bought these homes. Many of them they've put out as rentals now, so they're sitting on those as rentals. And so they helped absorb that. But as the prices have gone up, just as John had mentioned before too, prices have gone up in our homes. And with that, many of these properties have gone out as rentals. We've seen the rent prices softening a little bit. So there's your yield spread. You know, it's they were getting a low price and a high rent. Now the prices have gone up and rents have gone down. So they've stepped back from the market. And now there's an opportunity for the real, I call it the real buyer, the person that wants his the home or family in the communities again. And that's a good thing for us.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Las Vegas housing market with a panel of real estate experts. John Restrepo is principal of RCG Economics, a consulting firm here in Las Vegas. And Heidi Kassemer is president of the Greater Las Vegas Association of Realtors. We want to hear what your experience has been. What are you thinking right now? Are you still struggling with a mortgage that's underwater? Or do you feel better knowing that prices have gone up in the last couple of years? Are you a buyer? Are you one of those people that maybe is looking for a house the way Heidi's talking about? Someone who wants to get into the market but isn't quite sure if it's worth it now? or are you nervous that home prices may not hold up? Whatever your questions about the real estate market, whatever your experience, give us a call. The number is 258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Or you can tweet us at KNPR News or post your questions and comments to our website, knprnews.org. Also joining us right now in the studio is attorney Paul Cullen of the Cogburn Law Firm. Paul, welcome to KNPR.
Ian, thanks for having me.
Your office has been working with underwater homeowners on short sales and mortgage reductions. Have you seen the way the market's working exactly like Heidi and John think it is?
Absolutely. Probably towards the end of last year, we started seeing a pretty steep decline in people interested in short sales for a variety of reasons. And I agree with Heidi that probably the principal reason is the Mortgage and Debt Relief Act. If a short sale takes 3 or 4 months to complete, come September, October, people know that if it's not going to get completed by the end of the year, they have that potential tax consequence. So I think it made a lot of people nervous. So we saw a decline in people interested in short sales. And also with the rising home values, people are hopeful. So they're more hopeful that if I'm $50,000 underwater and housing prices are coming up, I don't need to do a short sale. I can wait it out 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, and then I don't have that short sale on my credit. They feel better about themselves that they haven't lost everything they put in. Homes are very emotional, especially people that go through a short sale. A lot of people put a significant amount of money down, especially if they bought in 2005, 6, 7. You put 20% down on your home that was $400,000, you're $80,000 in the hole, and now you're short selling it for $220,000. All that cash is gone. You don't have money for a new down payment. So it's an emotional roller coaster for people to go through, and couple that with the tax issue. I think it really made people slow down and think again.
But you're actually seeing a real drop off in that kind of business, that kind of distress in the real estate market.
I don't have the statistics like our other colleagues do.
But you're seeing people come in with the real day-to-day problems,
we
right?
We do. There's still a lot of people that need help. There's a significant number of homeowners that are, whether it's 5 years or 10 years from now, they're probably still going to be underwater because they just bought at the wrong time. And their home happens to be in an area in the valley that isn't going to come back to whatever they purchased the home for. So at some point in time, whether they do it this year, 5 years or 10 years from now, in all likelihood, there's just going to be a certain amount of people in the valley that are going to have to do a short sale.
John Restrepo, I mean, the latest figures from Zillow say that 34% of homes are still underwater. Is that proving to be a drag on the market?
I mean, at some point the market's got to clear itself. Is it a drag on the market? I guess in certain circumstances, it is limiting the availability of supply. I think Heidi hit the nail on the head. I think the last numbers we saw, there's about just a three-month inventory, approximately 2.5 to 3 month inventory of houses for sale here. So there's a kind of an artificial supply constraint, part of it because of these laws that are in place, both the Mortgage Relief Act, but also SB, was it 281 or AB 281 that, protected homeowners from that standpoint. So, yeah, I think until the market gets clear, we're going to have some constraints on supply and some pent-up demand. We always remain concerned because from our standpoint, we like to look at rising wages and incomes. And so until we see a healthy period of that, it's we're going to have a market, like Heidi says, two steps forward and one back. The good news is we're much better off today than we have been in the past. We were not going to see, as Heidi said, 20% growth forever. That was part of the bubble we saw before. A 3 to 5% rate of growth is probably the long-term norm here in Southern Nevada. So we're heading back to those numbers. It's just that what's happened is this slog has been so long and painful. People are just tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're waiting for some relief. And relief is coming, but not in a kind of speedy kind of way. It's going to take some time.
But why does being tired not get people just to say, throw in the towel and let's get that house sold now? Why does it slow the market down rather than speed it up?
Well, because as we just said earlier, if you want to do a short sale, but you're going to get hit with that income issue, it's kind of phantom income. You're not going to get really a check. You're saving money, I guess, and that's considered an income according to the feds, the IRS. Yeah, so it's going to put a constraint on it, and people are just kind of sitting. The other thing too, all these mortgage or these homeowner protection acts have allowed a lot of folks not a lot, a certain percentage of homeowners to be, I guess for lack of a better word, strategic squatters, mm-hmm. where they've been able to stay in their homes for longer periods of time, not paying any house notes, mm-hmm. not even sometimes maintaining them properly. And so that's slowed everything down. So there's a variety of factors in play, or both weak job, weak job growth, weak income growth, plus all these other externalities, as we call them, whether federal laws or state laws. It's all slowing everything down at this point.
If you've got questions about the real estate market, questions for our panel of experts here this morning, the number, of course, is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Or you can post your questions and comments at our website, knprnews.org. The fourth member of our panel this morning is Aaron Alessi. He's president of Resolution Realty. He works with homeowners making short sales. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Ian.
A little earlier, Paul mentioned that he is still seeing people come in with problems wanting to do short sales, and that maybe there are areas of the valley where the prices aren't coming back as quickly as we had expected or hoped. Where are those areas? What are you seeing as a person who's working with those short sellers?
Well, anybody in a Summerlin, Green Valley area, they're always going to see appreciation, multiple offers, not a lot of inventory. So anytime we see properties like that on the market, everybody's jumping at them. You know, North Las Vegas East, there's problems where these properties were at one time in our market $200,000 and they've dropped to $50,000, $60,000. And those guys have taken the biggest hit. And a lot of those homeowners don't have a lot to fall back on. So they try every variable, loan modification, refinance, HARP, they go through years and years of trying to salvage any way they can to stay in those properties. And a lot of the banks just don't work with the homeowners. So in a distressed situation like our market has now, a lot of homeowners who are in a short sale situation kind of wait and wait and wait. You know, as John said, there might be another opportunity that comes that's going to be the saving grace to get them out of the property or help them stay in the property. And a majority of the clients that we see come in now are trying to figure out a way to short sale their home and stay in it. A lot of people are really emotionally tied to their school districts, to the amount of money they put into their property. So there's a lot of different variables weighing on everybody.
So, I mean, when you talk about those people who are so deeply under, 40, 50%, what is it about those neighborhoods that's kept them down when others have gone ahead and recovered some of their prices?
I think it's just share area. You know, the market condition to support places that are better that have better school districts, the freeways, just the locale. If there's a high demand for those areas, they're always going to be in high demand.
John, your May report flagged problems in North Las Vegas with its city finances as a big problem. Is that affecting the real estate market in that part of the valley?
Well, everything affects everything. I mean, not to be glib about it, but what happened with North Las Vegas, North Las Vegas caught the housing boom toward the tail end of the boom. So their extended period of growth, unlike Summerlin and Green Valley, is relatively short in terms of, and when it collapsed hard in North Las Vegas. A lot of working class folks live up there. And so you had those houses, as I mentioned earlier, that sold at the boom for $200,000, now selling for $50,000. So that had a huge impact on the funds or the revenues of North Las Vegas, because they live and die by property tax. And when those rates went down, the property tax revenue went down, sales tax revenues went down as well because of constrained consumer spending. So they got hit hard. And so, it's all tied in. North Las Vegas has got some image issues. It's got some real financial issues. And that flows into whether people want to live up there. You may have speculators investing up there that's going to put these houses for rent, but I don't see a huge rush of homeowners running up there. And on top of that, the homeowners are there that are still suffering, and you have a lot of projects that are still struggling and with maintenance and all these sorts of things. So I think Aaron is absolutely correct. Those better planned, better located areas of town that experienced the boom for a longer period of time, and that's essentially the Southeast, the Northwest here, where Summerlin is, and a little bit to the Southwest, have survived and are coming back at a greater rate. That's no different than the other market that you see. Not all submarkets are created equal, basically. But they all have an effect, yeah.
And rumors of municipal bankruptcy and things like that potentially scaring buyers off?
I would think so. I would think if you're keeping up with the news and you're just worried about services, fire services, police services, you know, you already have some school issues in North Las Vegas. That's not really a city of North Las Vegas issue; it's a school district issue. But all these things come into play, and it slows the rate of growth or the rate of recovery, I should say, for North Las Vegas compared to the other parts of town.
We're talking about real estate in Las Vegas. Where is it now? We've had some big numbers come up in the last couple of years, but that's flattened out to what our experts are calling a more normal rate of growth. But if you've got questions about short sales, mortgages, where the market is, what neighborhoods are having more trouble than others, we have experts here that can potentially answer your question. The number to call is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Before the break, we were talking about how some areas have been performing better than others, how some areas have had more problems than others. If somebody comes in to buy a property, Heidi, what do you tell them? Where would you point them to as the places which have the best value right now in the valley?
Well, first of all, what you need to do is uncover what they're looking for. I don't try and point anybody to a certain area. It's always asking a lot of questions. You know, is it a retired person? Do they care about the school districts? No, they don't. Is it a people with family? What about the school districts? I always just send people to my website. If they want to know what the school reports are or crime statistics or any of that, I don't try and get into that. I just send them to the sources so they can learn about what's important to them or not. Do they want to be close to bus routes? Do they want to be close to shopping? You know, you have to uncover all the questions to find out from people. We certainly, there's no question that we can certainly give them numbers about, well, in this area, the median price is running at this, and in the Ridges, it's running at that. There's different, certainly different price points, and that's one of the first things you have to have your conversation with them is you know, what kind of a price point are they looking at, and what other amenities are important to them, and then you try and match those up.
And what do you do if somebody comes in and says, wow, the proverbial $50,000 house, three bedrooms, two-car garage in North Las Vegas? What do you tell them? Is that a great deal or not?
You know, I get so many calls from that. I have investors that'll call me from overseas, other states, and wow, I saw this house for $50,000, and it even has a pool. You know? And you might drive to the community, and they're like, oh my goodness, I wouldn't stop my car here. You know, so you have to find out, you know, from an investor standpoint, that's okay if they're willing to take more risk with it. So again, it's more questions. What's your risk tolerance level? I've owned homes personally in many different areas, and you know, some areas might require more work and attention than others. So that's another thing you have to find. What type of an investor are they? Are they a seasoned investor, a new investor? So there's a lot of questions to ask to find out. We can find those homes. If you're okay with that area, great. Let's get you into there.
And do you remind them that there are these kind of financial problems in North Las Vegas?
You know, those questions will come up. But, you know, I will say I don't see you're not going to have a complete collapse of services. The state has backup plans if something like that were to happen with any municipality. So it's not like it's, you know, the lights are going to be turned off and no services. The state would step in and start, you know, taking care of some of those major issues. So is there a concern? Yes, but I wouldn't shy away from having somebody buy up there just for that reason.
So, Erin Lessie, where do you think the big values are right now in the Las Vegas Valley?
I'm going to have to agree with Heidi on this one. It's the goal of that particular buyer or that investor and what they want to do. You can achieve many different goals by looking at what type of asset that they're going to buy. And if you have the expertise to guide them in the right direction, then they're going to be happy. The value is going to be there. And your value opposed to my value is going to be completely different. And if I'm an investor who wants to make money, well, I'm going to look at price per square foot. If I want to live in, you know, up by the Ridges and I'm going to pay $250 a square foot there, well, you're going to achieve that same goal either way.
Go on, Heidi.
Well, you know, the other point for a lot of investors, too, are they looking for current cash flow or are they looking for future appreciation? It's really no different than the stocks. Are you buying a blue chip stock or you want to buy an emerging market stock? You know, you can have a greater appreciation, perhaps more risk. It might not come. Or you're buying your blue chip and your stocks and you're getting your dividends every month. So it's the same type of question.
Right. And one thing I'd like anybody to pay attention to is timing. Like a stock market, when are you going to buy? When are you going to sell?
Mm-hmm. So what do you tell people? When are the good times to buy or when should they be not buying?
Well, I think right now is a great time to buy. If you're historically looking at the numbers, we're still devalued as a city who can make potentially have a lot of value in the property.
And let's talk big numbers, zip codes. Which zip codes do you think are the ones that have stabilized, that have the solid value versus the more, shall we say, over-the-counter stock, the penny stock kind of approach? Heidi?
Well, you know, I always give people the big overview of where we started. You can just look at our valley, and if you look at where the major construction was, 2005, 2006, it was towards the edges of the valley, and that's where there was a lot of construction that went on. And those were the places that a few years ago, you drove through those neighborhoods, and there were many, many signs for foreclosures going on because they were the highest price homes, and those were the ones that got hit the hardest. And those are where the investors have by and large gone into. The stable markets have remained the stable markets. Many of the people buying are looking for what we call the big master plan community areas because of, like John had mentioned, the amenities, the shopping, the parks, the walking trails, the biking trails. Those continue to be very popular areas. We have them in on the west side. We have them in the Green Valley area. We have them in the southwest area. In the northwest, they've done smaller communities there. And so those have remained, were popular, have remained popular, and will probably continue because of the amenities and factors. So those have remained the more stable markets, where people went out and were trying to, on the tail end, take advantage of the market and just put up the houses and get them sold. Those are the ones that were hit the hardest and will take the longest to come back.
John, you're the numbers man. Where do you think the solid investment zip codes are and the more speculative zip codes are?
Well, obviously, where I live, 89135. So,
which is?
No, I'm just kidding. That's the perfect zip code. Yeah. You know, it's hard to say. Each zip code is a little different, even within the master plan communities. You know, if you look at Summerlin, for example, some of the zip codes at Summerlin of the more established higher-end zip code areas have come back a little quicker than the ones that were those Summerlin areas that were built toward the end of the boom. So it's very difficult. So what you need to look at is just general patterns, whether it's the southeast, southwest, northwest, whatever, and not worry too much about the actual zip codes because things are going to change. Look at the amenities, as we were saying earlier. Look at the schools. Look at the shopping. Look at the transportation system. That really is really the driver is how you should be making your decision in the context of what your price point is. And that all depends on, you know, your wealth and your income status and that sort of thing.
The last report from Zillow.com said that new home buyers, the first people trying to get into the market with their very first home, were still having trouble at around that $100,000 right. price point. What are the problems that those folks are facing? I mean, the 20-somethings, newly married, newly coupled, who are trying to buy their first house. What are the problems they're facing? Heidi?
Well, you know, the credit markets have changed. They did become tighter and stricter. So, you know, a few years back, that same buyer, it was easier for him to get into the market because the credit was easier. It was more relaxed. So that's become tighter for them. So that has caused some distress and has kept some of the buyers that before could have gotten into the market.
Right. And
we've seen loan originations come down almost 40% over the last 6 to 8 months. And it's funny, the people who have short sailed and foreclosed or went through a bankruptcy can buy a property now one day after. So there's new programs for people who went through foreclosure or a short sale, but there's the tightened restrictions with new loans for, you know, the couple that's 20 years old are not there. So it's a flip-flop in the market from what we've been going through.
Right.
So what do you advise them? Or is it just take another couple of years and save more money?
I think you just got to stay on top of your credit. Make sure you're talking and getting the right advice on exactly where you need to be, because there's not a lot of issues with qualifying for a loan if you're just doing your due diligence. Right. The financing is there.
Paul, for people who are still got problems underwater, not able to make their mortgage payments, there have been over the years a whole raft of federal programs that were supposed to help with principal reduction, keep people in their homes. Are any of those programs working? Do you recommend any of them to your clients?
All the programs are investor specific, and investor being the person who owns the loan. So if you pay your mortgage payment every month to Bank of America or Wells Fargo, chances are they don't actually own your loan. It could be owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. A lot of people had FHA and VA loans, or it could be sold on the open market as a mortgage-backed security. So the programs vary widely depending on who owns the loans. There was a time where principal reductions were you know, rampant after we had there was a big mortgage settlement with the five major banks, $25 billion. We saw a lot of principal reductions at that time. But banks are still doing loan modifications. They still want to keep people in their home. It's still better to have a performing asset for the bank where someone pays them every month than foreclosing on that person. I mean, foreclosure has multiple effects. One, they have to take possession of the property. They don't know what condition it's in. It hurts communities. It brings values down. So there are still modifications available out there. There's almost every single bank that we work with still has good programs for people. So it varies widely on everybody's mm-hmm. situation.
But people have to be pretty tough and stick with it to get that mortgage modification?
It really depends. You have to do your due diligence as, you know, our office does. A loan modification, for all intents and purposes, is a mathematical formula. There's rules that you have to fall into. And if you don't meet those guidelines, you know, then you're wasting your time. Because you can say, you know, I want to do this. But if you are one of those people that hasn't been able to get anything done for 4 years, and they're 4 years behind, and that's 4 years of missed mortgage payments that the bank's going to want to add to your loan, the numbers may not be there to succeed. So everything should be done up front to be able to analyze whether or not the person qualifies. Mm. But there's still a lot of programs out there. We still do a lot of modifications and to help people keep their homes.
I've only got a minute or two left, but I just want to go around quickly and ask people, what do you think the next thing we need to be looking for to see how this market is shaping up, John?
For us, we always look at the fundamentals of the strength of the economy. We have to continue seeing economic growth. You know, I know the unemployment rate right now is about 8. That include the underemployed. You add that to about a 16% unemployment rate in the state of Nevada. So that's got to go down. Wages have to go up in real terms. We have to build purchasing power and rebuild the balance sheets of home buyers, essentially.
Heidi?
Well, I have to, you know, echo a lot of what John is saying, that, you know, a strong economy cures a lot of ills. And we're fortunate. We are starting to see improvement. We've got the Malaysian Group building where the former Echelon was. The link just was completed. We've got some exciting projects, you know, on the Strip that is helping to bring employment numbers up. It's a wonderful thing to hear the unemployment numbers that change. I mean, we were over 14%. We're down to 8%. It's still not good, but wow, we've come a long way, and that's really helped our economy. You know, we've got other exciting programs coming up. You know, we've got the military continues to expand. We've got the drone program, some of those things coming out. And those are all things that will help with bringing employment numbers up, and that brings up consumer confidence and that increases spending.
And Aaron Lessie, 10 seconds, what do you think we should be looking at?
Consumer confidence, just staying in front of all the distressed properties and trying to make this the healthy transition we can possibly do.
Well, thank you all. John Restrepo is principal of RCG Economics. Heidi Kassmer is president of the Greater Las Vegas Association of Realtors. Paul Cullen is an attorney at the Cogburn Law Firm. And Aaron Alessi is president of Resolution Realty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.